Is there one particular department of your life which you are withholding from God and saying, Lord, I don't want you trespassing there. That part belongs to me.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about living in company with Christ. Living in company with Christ. And I spoke with you about some of the obstacles to our growth in holiness. For example, bargaining with God, being unchildlike, being petulant, full of self-interest, affected. We need to be simple with God. We might as well be, you know. You realize that God knows your thoughts before you think them. Unto him all hearts are open, all desires known, and from him no secrets are hid. So, let's be simple. Let's be upfront, straightforward, candid with God. Today's theme is holiness in the form of what it means to live in company with Christ. And that is a scriptural phrase. I love that idea that he died for me in order that I might live in company with him. I wouldn't be very compatible company if he had not died for me, if he had not saved me. And so each day I want to learn to live in company with Christ. I am a new creation. What is your background? Some of you are like the woman from whom I had a letter. I want to read this letter to you. She says, I do not have a Christian heritage behind me, but God is being faithful to begin building such a heritage in response to my fervent prayers. My youngest daughter just got engaged to the son of a missionary. He's a fine young man who comes from a long line of Christian people. How wonderful God is to cancel the curse and begin a new family grounded in Christ. Both young people are virgins who were determined to remain that way until marriage. I am a woman of many sins, she says, whom God set on a high rock and even called me to work for him. As I ponder this wonderful gift of a Christian husband for my daughter, the meaning of obedience to God came so clear. What if I had said no to God 6 years ago when the Holy Spirit was calling me? If I had said nuts to God, those two young people might never have met. I saw so clearly that one act of obedience or disobedience has far-ranging effects beyond our own lives. Once I was a selfish, disobedient, and very worldly woman. But now I am a child of the King, working toward a total selling out to God. I say working toward because the Holy Spirit is continuing to show me areas that need to be yielded. That letter should be a great encouragement to many of you. An encouragement to all of us in realizing how discouraging it can be to look at ourselves and our own faults and our failures at the end of the day, but encouraging to realize that God is indeed at work and that he is continuing to show us. He unfolds step by step new areas in which we can obey him. So I'm so grateful for that letter from a woman of many sins. Many listeners undoubtedly are in the same boat. You feel as if you've blown it. Well, take courage from that woman's testimony. You can start over again. You can begin building a new life in company with Christ. Where do you begin? Back at the old rugged cross. So despised by the world. You can go to the cross. You can say, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I'm tired of carrying these heavy burdens. Just lay them down. Leave your heavy burdens at the cross, as the old gospel quartet song goes. Leave your heavy burdens at the cross. There is a dividing line there. There is a wall of separation between the old and the new. In 1 Peter 1:15, we read, "Don't let your character be molded by the desires of your former ignorant days, but be holy in every department of your lives, for the one who has called you is himself holy." Be holy in every department of your lives. Is there one particular department of your life which you are withholding from God and saying, Lord, I don't want you trespassing there. That part belongs to me. Is there one area that you'd prefer not to think about in the presence of God? Well, he knows all about it. He knows every corner of it. He knows the dust that you've swept under the rug. Why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you just turn it over to him? Don't let your character be molded by the desires of your ignorant days, but be holy in every department of your lives. For the one who has called you is himself holy. When you did your spring cleaning last spring, or when you set about doing your fall cleaning this fall, how would you feel if you managed to get the whole house absolutely spick and span, except for one room? For example, the living room. Suppose you decided to leave the living room in a total mess. How stupid, when you could get the whole place clean. And you certainly wouldn't want the one room, which is the most obvious, to be in a mess. But in God's sight, is there one room more obvious than another? Unto him all hearts are open. Can you be clean enough for a genuine love? I got this phrase from the 22nd verse of 1 Peter 1. It says, "Now that you have, by obeying the truth, made your souls clean enough for a genuine love of your fellows, see that you do love each other fervently and from your heart." In other words, Peter is telling us here that we can't really love purely, genuinely, until we start obeying the truth. Anybody out there having trouble with a marriage or a relationship, maybe with a mother-in-law or somebody you have to work with? The Bible tells you that you are supposed to love that person. And you say, well, I can't possibly love him or her. Maybe you're starting in the wrong place. Maybe you're trying to drum up feelings. That'll never work. Peter says, "Now that you have, by obeying the truth, made your souls clean, clean enough for a genuine love, now start loving each other fervently and from the heart." It starts at the cross. Obedience to the truth. Asking God to cleanse your soul. That will make a difference in your relationships. Have done with evil, deceit, pretense, jealousy, slander. Those are places where you can start obeying God. God doesn't reveal our sins to us all at once. That would be crushing, wouldn't it? He shows us one area at a time. And he says, "Will you give me this? Will you trust me with this?" What is that very difficult, painful, almost unthinkable area in your life? Or that one thing that you refuse to give up? That one thing that you're sure you couldn't do without? Jesus stands with his hand open and he says, "Will you give me that thing? I know what to do with it." In the little booklet called Joy and Strength that I read almost every day. It's a compilation of quotations and scripture verses by Mary Wilder Tileston. I read this from Charles Gore. According to Christ's teaching, the priest and Levite did not pay their debt to their Samaritan neighbor because they thought him a stranger with no claim on them. Dives ignored his rich man's debt to Lazarus. We can all think of manifold debts to the lonely whom we might visit, the misunderstood whom we might teach. Is it not bewildering even to attempt to realize our debts? And yet let a man make a beginning, and all will be well. Let him steadily set himself to behave towards those whom he employs, or those who employ him, towards railway porters and shop assistants, and others who minister to his convenience, as being men and women with the same right to courteous treatment and to a real opportunity to make the best of themselves as he has himself. Let him thus realize his debts to his nearest neighbors, and the whole idea of humanity, of brotherhood, will be deepened and made real to him. He will get a habit of considerateness and thoughtfulness for others as belonging to Christ, which will express itself habitually towards all, and especially the weak. We can all think of manifold debts that we owe to other people. But make a beginning. Just make a beginning. And that will be the beginning of living in company with Christ. We all know that it's impossible to live in company with anybody with whom we do not have the same object, the same motive. And sacrificial self-giving is a big help. Do you want to live in company with Christ? Then you're going to have to be holy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.